Well, may God bless each one here this morning. I am just glad to be here, or I am glad to be here and listen to some of the testimonies. I'm sure we could keep going, and I wish I could have heard the other 4 points, Papa Sim, that you had for us. But isn't it so true that it's a good reminder for us that death is not, it is an enemy, but it's just the gateway that we have to go through to eternity. And I think it's important for us to remember that. And I hope you don't worry too much about the time, because we're not going to have a church service tonight, neither Wednesday. So this is the last chance we have this year. So we're going to make it count. No, I'm not planning to have a long message, don't worry. But sometimes it does happen that way, even if I don't plan that way. And my thoughts are kind of going the same direction. We come out of this year, and I was hoping I could have a message that we can recap the events of this year and see what we learned and see where we're going from here. But somehow or another, the Lord kept bringing to my mind. I like to think that way, that it's the Lord that kind of stirs our thinking whenever we trying to decide what to preach. And my mind was still stuck in the Christmas story. And through, as we go through this study this morning, and I hope that you can connect it, that it helped me to prepare for the coming year. And I hope we can make it practical for in this way. The title for the message is The Characters of Joseph and Mary. And I don't know if it's supposed to be plural, characters of Joseph and Mary, or singular, character of Joseph and Mary. Character, just singular. Okay. I had it singular at first, and then it didn't look right, so I put it. But it don't matter. It's hard for me to narrow it down to a title, but the reason why we study a character is because we want to learn from him, right? I hope that's the reason why. Either it's a good example or a bad example. In this case, it's an extremely good example of Joseph and Mary. And like I said, let's see what we can learn. They went through this event that we're going to look at this morning, and they had a future that they didn't, kind of unknown, but they faced it either way. So that's kind of where I connected with the coming year, or how do we face the future. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. We're going to start right here. Now we don't know much about Joseph and Mary. The Bible doesn't say a whole lot, especially we know a little bit of Joseph in the beginning of the story of Jesus. But then he disappeared. If you notice, out there at the cross, we know that Mary was there, the mother of Jesus. But where was Joseph? I don't know what happened to him. Now, how old were they whenever Jesus was born? Most scholars agree that they were very young. They say in the Jewish culture at that time, it was accepted. I have heard for, especially the young ladies, the girls, to be betrothed or engaged even as low as 12 years old. So most people agree that it could have been teenagers. Now, again, I don't have a way to prove that, okay? But more than like, it could have been. Now, let's read this passage here, and I got 3 things to learn from Joseph and 3 things to learn from Mary. 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought of these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her first son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, first of all, let's talk a little bit about this time that Mary was espoused to Joseph. I'm sure most of you, especially the adults, have heard what that meant, this espousal time or betrothal time that the Jewish culture had at this time. But I'll just read you a little bit of a commentary that I printed. And again, this is what they believe that it happened, or, you know, how it was done at that time, or the culture of that year, of that time of era. The first major step in a Jewish marriage was a betrothal. A betrothal involved the establishment of a marriage covenant. But Jesus' time, it was usual for such a covenant to be established as the result of the prospective bridegroom taking the initiative. The prospective bridegroom would travel from his father's house to the home of the prospective bride. There he would negotiate with the father of the young woman to determine the price of mohar that he must pay to purchase his bride. Once the bridegroom paid the purchase price, the marriage covenant was thereby established. And the young man and woman were regarded to be husband and wife, and they consider each other as husband and wife. Even though he went back to his father's place to prepare where they were going to live. From that moment on, the bride was declared to be consecrated or sanctified or set apart exclusively for her bridegroom. As a symbol of the covenant relationship that had been established, the groom and bride would drink from a cup of wine over which a betrothal benediction had been pronounced. You can think of the Last Supper Jesus had with his disciples. That could be significant to that. After the marriage covenant had been established, the groom would leave the home of the bride and return to his father's house. There, he would remain separate from his bride for a period of 12 months. Now, I don't know how to prove all this, but apparently they had an agreement of a set time when he was going to come. This period of separation afforded the bride time to gather her, and to prepare for married life. The groom occupied himself with the preparation of living accommodation in his father's house, to which he would bring his bride. At the end of the period of separation, the groom would come to take his bride to live with him. The taking of the bride usually took place at night. The groom, best man, and other male escorts would leave the groom's father's house and conduct a torchlight procession to the home of the bride. Although the bride was expecting her groom to come for her, she did not know the exact time of his coming. As a result, the groom's arrival will be preceded by a shout. The shout will forewarn the bride to be prepared for the coming of the groom. After the groom receives his bride together with her female attendants, the enlarged wedding party will return from the bride's home to the groom's father's house. And upon arrival there, the wedding party would find that the wedding guests had assembled already. And I'm just going to stop there simply because I just wanted to emphasize that betrothal. But there's just a couple of things I want you to make sure we understand. The first thing that I noticed on this is that it was a legal covenant. Okay? A betrothal at that time, if I understand right, if these people are correct in their commentaries, it was a legal document, a binding document, covenant, that could not be broken unless fornication was found. And we believe that's what Jesus referred to whenever he said that divorce could be granted if it's fornication. We believe that it was this part of the covenant that it could be this annul, I guess is the word. But that was, this is where Joseph and Mary were found. They were espoused. Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. They had already agreed. Joseph had paid. We don't know how much he paid for Mary, but he already had paid, and that could not be recovered. Once the bridegroom paid, he could never get it back. Okay? So just think about that. Now, here we are. We want to think a little bit about Joseph. Now, can you imagine with Joseph? Let's imagine a little bit of Joseph. He's a young man. He probably lives in a little different town. I don't know. But here he found out that Mary was found with child. And in verse 20, it says, while he thought of these things. I mean, that's kind of an understatement, don't you think? Of a man, a young man, that had found out that his future wife was found with child. He was troubled. He didn't know what to do. And we're going to see the example of Joseph. Joseph, the first thing we want to learn from him is that he was a just man. He was a just man. I know he was just a man, but he was a just man. What does just mean? Just used specifically of what is legally or ethically right or proper or fitting. I'm going to write it down for you because this is so important. Ethically right or proper or fitting. I really like that definition of what a just person is. Fair, it can be, we use it a lot in fair or just, free from favoritism or self-interest. It can even mean honorable, worthy of being honored. It means right, in conformance with justice or law or morality, to do the right thing, that is to be a just person. It does the right thing. And he means also righteous, characterized by or proceeding from accepted standards of morality or justice. The prayer for righteous men availeth much, says James 5:16. And I just want to remind you that God is the standard of righteousness. And he is the character of righteousness. So anything that you want to define morally, the standard to be measured to is God. Okay, that was not even in my notes, but I want to make sure we know this. Righteousness is defined by God. God is the essence of righteousness. God is the character of righteousness. And anything that needs to be morally decided, we use the standard of God. Okay? Joseph was a just man. He had this ethically right or proper or fitting. Now, here in verse 19, we see Joseph hears about this. I don't know how he found out. Okay? And we'll find out a little bit later of Mary, where was she the first 3 months? But the first 3 months, she wasn't even around her house. She went to visit Elizabeth. Okay? But I don't know where she was. How he found out, I don't know. But he was thinking about this. I wonder if he slept at all. He heard about this. Now, this is serious. And he was presented with three options. He had three options what to do. The first option, he could have made Mary a public example and to stone her to death. Did you know that? Legally, he could have done that. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, chapter 24, you will find a lot of directives of what to do in this situation. And one of them, I'm just going to read it to you. You don't have to turn there. Deuteronomy 22, verse 20. But if this be true, that the man found his wife or his spouse wife to be unfaithful to him, if it be true, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of the father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones, that she die, because she had wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. So that put evil away from among you. So he could have done that. Now he could have done a second option, and this is what he was going to do. He could have done it privately. He says privately here. Deuteronomy 24 verse 1 says, when a man had taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he had found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. Now, it said that in that document of divorcement, the man had to write down what was the cause of divorce. Now, I don't know what Joseph was going to write on that, but he was going to do it as privately as he could because he did not want to shame Mary. Now, I just wanted you to think about the quality of character that Joseph had. Can you imagine if he would have been, what is the word I want to use? I don't know. But if it would have been a kind of man that couldn't tolerate this kind of thing, which probably most men are that way, and he would have got her to stone her. But God knew in his sovereignty who this couple needed to be. Well, the third option was that he could take Mary as his wife and live with a reproach that everybody would think this child was born out of fornication. And that's exactly what God told him to do. That's exactly what God told him to do. So, the second point I want you to notice is that he was obedient. Joseph obeyed the Lord. Notice in verse 24, it says, then Joseph being raised from sleep. Okay, you know the story. He was thinking about that. I can only imagine poor Joseph, he can't even sleep at night, thinking what he needs to do. What can I do? What do I need to do? And all his dreams were shattered. And this is not a minor thing to find his spouse, wife, with child. But there, the angel told him what to do. He told him, don't be scared of doing this because this is from the Holy Ghost. And the precious words there in verse 21. And what amazes me is Joseph in 24, when Joseph being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. It gives me the impression that it was toward the end of the 9 months of Mary that he heard this from the angel. I don't know. But we do notice that Joseph had three times the angel told him what to do. In chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, it says, and they were departed. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and told him to take the young child and his mother to Egypt. And guess what he did? When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed unto Egypt. And then jumped in verse 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel. And he arose. And he arose. Every time we see this, we don't see Joseph arguing with the angel. He don't say reasoning with the angel. And he didn't even, we just see him obeying. Willing to take the reproach. Now, It seems to me, listen, that people from Israel did not receive a revelation from the angel. I don't even know when Matthew wrote this thing. But some people believe that he wrote it to refute the, the account, or people believe that Jesus was born out of fornication. The slander is what I was looking for. And Matthew wrote this to refute that. That was later on. Because I do believe that people thought that Jesus was born of fornication. You know why I said that? Matthew 13:55. They said, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? John 8:41. Ye do the deeds of your father. And he was talking about that to the Jews, the devil. And they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. I do believe that the town, of course, this news don't stay hidden. The people talk about this. This is the talk of the town. But I do believe that Joseph had to live with that scorn and that reproach of this. But he was willing to do that. He was willing to do that. Some people say the question has been asked, why did Mary went with Joseph to Bethlehem? Couldn't the man just go and get the census done or the taxes paid and come back? We don't know. Some people have suggested that maybe she couldn't even take that rejection of her own people. So he just took her along. Whatever the case, maybe it wasn't that way. We hope not, but maybe it was. But guess what? Joseph was a just man, and that's what a just man would do. Ethically right or proper or fitting, he did the right thing, even though it was not the most popular thing. You got that, young people? Sometimes, all of us, sometimes doing the right thing, it's not going to be the most popular thing to do. And the last thing I would like to learn from Joseph is found in verse 25. And I know we have small ears in the corn patch here, so we want to be a little discreet here. But it says, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. The thing I would like to point out here, Matthew specifically says, even in verse 18, that Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. And then in verse 25, it does mention that knew her not until she had brought forth her first son. But the point I would like to make here, Joseph was a pure man. He had self-control. And I am just amazed of the lust that is rampant in our society today. Society, we are the exception to society. I don't know if you knew that or not. But society is not like this group. And thank God that we have moral standards based on God. The world doesn't have standards. And I just want to remind you, brethren, of course, we're talking about Joseph, a man. If we don't overtake lust, lust will overtake us if we are not intentional about defeating it. I'm just amazed in my own life the dangers of lust and the dangers of gratification of the flesh. It is extremely dangerous. And I think I'm just leave it with that. Now, what about Mary? What can we learn about Mary? Well, go with me to Luke chapter 1. In Matthew didn't talk much about Mary, but Luke goes into extensive talk about Mary. And I'm just going to introduce Mary or what the angel said about her. And there's many points that we can pull from here. And young ladies, if you want to be a lady of true character, you can study the life of Mary. Again, we don't know much about her, but here we have a tremendous good description of her. I'm going to start reading verse 26 through 37. Remember, this is that description that the angel gave about Mary. In the 6 months, the angel, and in the 6 month, okay, what 6 month we're talking about? I think he's talking about the 6 month of Elizabeth, because he says in verse 24, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me. And then in the 6 month, so we think that John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. The angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6 month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Now, there's a couple of things that the angel said about Mary. She was highly favored before God. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. He told her how special this was. He told her that he shall be great. The baby that's going to be born is the Son of the Highest. And he talks about a throne and a reign forever. That means a king, right? A throne and reigning forever, that means a king. The kingdom have no end. The Holy Ghost and the power of the Highest. And I want you to notice in verse 35, it says that the holy thing. In the Spanish Bible, it says the holy being, and they're both capitalized. Now, the capitalized rules in the Spanish language are very, very similar to the capitalization rules of the English language. We capitalize proper names. The holy thing means the holy being was the Son of God. And I wish they would have it capitalized in the KJV. But it's, we understand, it was the holy God. Now, what else did the angel told Mary? Can you imagine Mary, a young lady, scratching her head and saying, how could this be? I mean, that's an understatement, right? We don't know how Mary acted, but I can see that the angel Gabriel knew that she was perplexed. How is this going to happen? And he goes on and tell her how it will happen. The Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. And then as a proof, I guess, or as an encouragement, she tells her about Elizabeth, the old lady that never had a baby, that she was going to have a baby. I don't think Mary knew that. Because she didn't have WhatsApp. But Gabriel told Mary that Elizabeth was with child. Wow. What can we learn about Mary? Well, first of all, notice the next verse. Verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord." What's a handmaid? We don't use that word today. The servant. The servant of the Lord. "Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Wow. What will you learn about that? Consecration. Consecration yielded to God. Does it surprise you, that response of Mary after seeing that the scripture that the angel gave of her? Wow. Now let's notice a little bit of the Mary's perspective of God and herself. And that's my next thing that we can learn from Mary. A proper perspective of God and herself. And I'm going to read verse 46. And I'm skipping a few verses because we're coming back to that. Of Elizabeth. But there in 46, Mary is talking. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Now remember, I want you to notice the perspective that she had of God and the perspective that she had of herself. "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid, maiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath hoping." Now that's an interesting word. Do you get that? "He hath hoping his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Couple things. She rejoiced in God her Savior. All generations will call her blessed. Recognize the greatness and holiness of God. Verse 50. I can't go over the verses. It's just too many here. But faithful mercy. 51. Show strength with his arms. Dean Brother Cole had devotion the other night on Isaiah when God revealed his arm. And Brother Cole mentioned that most of the times in Isaiah, it referring to possibly the Messiah. Here he is. He has shown strength with his arm. Verse 52, to set up on high those that be low, it says in Job 5:11, the value of the virtue of humility. The value of the virtue of humility. This lady was a humble lady. You want to be a lady of character? Can we start with the greatest virtue of humility? And then in verse 54, she saw the hoping of the Lord. It's probably help is the better word. In the Spanish, it uses the word succor. Succor. Not the succors that Sister Gladine gives to the children. Succor as meaning into help or partaker or support. To help or relieve when in difficulty. Want or distress, to assist and deliver from suffering. That's what she was seeing, that God was going to succor or help them in a difficult time. Well, in Hebrews 2:18, he uses the same English word, even though it's a different Greek word. He is able to succor them that are tempted. So you have that word in English. And she saw the faithfulness of God. And she saw the holiness of God. And I already told you all this. And she saw who she was as a humble lady. Now, number three. What else can we learn from Mary? I wrote this down. Finding strength, uplift, and courage from others. Now, I'm sure you never thought about this because I never did either. Until I was meditating upon this. And all of a sudden, it started dawning on me. What did Mary do after the angel told her what was going to happen? I mean, this has never happened before. Now, there's a lot of stories of myths. There have been a lot of virgin births in the history of mankind. Let me tell you something. That cannot happen, okay? This is the only time it happened. This is not an everyday experience. This has to be the power of the Almighty God that can perform such a thing. Guess what she did? Notice in verse 39. The angel told Mary that Elizabeth, the old lady, had conceived. And notice what she does. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with what? With haste. I don't want to read more than what it should be into this. But she went to Elizabeth. And maybe I don't know if I should take the time, but I'll keep reading. And entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence this is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. And we already read those verses. And in verse 56, and Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now, we know that Elizabeth was in her 6 months and she abode there around 3 months. Could it be possible that Mary stayed there until Elizabeth had John the Baptist? If you keep reading, that's what happened immediately. But it does say that she returned to her own house. I'm just imagining. Can you imagine if she stayed there when John the Baptist was born and she heard Zechariah prophesying? And we're not going to take the time to read those last verses of Zechariah. What was he prophesying about the Messiah? Incredible. Incredible. Well, finding strength, uplift, and courage from others. Mary had a difficult task ahead. We don't understand what she had ahead. We don't understand that psychological trauma that she had to work through. We don't understand the culture. We don't understand what happened. But you know what? It impresses me. The faithfulness of God provided someone that she could go to that had experience, maybe not as a powerful miracle, but it was a miracle. That the old lady, Elizabeth, was going to have a baby. And we notice, probably John the Baptist, even in the womb, recognized the Messiah. Leap for joy, he said. You want to be a lady of true character? Find people to help you. Find strength to uplift you. And find courage from others. Well, we got to conclude this. What can we learn from Joseph? Joseph was a just man. Do the right thing, even if it's not the popular thing to do. It amazes me. If we think he was a young man, and he was willing to do this, and to suffer that reproach. He was obedient. and he was an owner of himself. That's another way of saying self-control. It's another way of saying pure. It's another way of saying not given to lust, not following his own concupiscence. And then we have Mary. Mary was a consecrated lady. She didn't know what was happening. She didn't know what the future held for her. Don't we are the same way? I mean, this affects us both, okay, ladies and men. We need to be consecrated to whatever God has for us. That probably is one of the biggest things for me. One of the things that touches me the most is to be willing to do whatever God asks me to do. And have a proper perspective of God and ourselves. Magnify the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And then finding strength, uplift, and courage from others. May God bless each one as we face the coming year. We don't know what's ahead. Joseph and Mary didn't know either. But they believed. Did you notice that Elizabeth commended her for her belief? She said, blessed because you believe. And the Lord is going to perform what he said. Elizabeth told that to Mary. Mary believed God that it was going to happen. She didn't know how. It has never happened before and never happened again. How is this be? But she believed. Wow. May God help each one of us to do the same thing.